日僕の心は今日も泣き崩れ去った。壊れて叫んでも消し去れない記憶だ。暗闇が瞳の中へと流れ込む。もう色さえ見えない明日へと沈む。 Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, June 13th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that even the NSA won't listen to. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello.
I think they listen, they just don't admit it.
Probably not. Mike Lemieux has gone missing ever since the last Bleach chapter came out, and we all hope and pray for a safe return.
I think he said something about going to Japan to kill somebody? I don't remember who it was exactly.
I think it was like Tsubo
Sasuke.
Bite.
He was going to kill Sasuke.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he'll
he's going
be
to attack
Kishimoto's
that game
love.
Show, apparently.
So, any housekeeping we have to do before we go right in, or...?
Not really,
Assassination Classroom has been absent for a couple weeks, and we were trying to figure out why, and doesn't seem to be any reason, so...
We all hope and pray for its safe return.
We care more about that than we do about Mike, so, you know.
Well, yeah. I think he knows that, too. That just goes without saying. So then we'll start with Beelzebub, which is titled, Furuichi is Dead? Question mark? Exclamation mark? Lots of marks. And so I'm just going to be all smug and say I totally called it, that it's not his actual heart, it is One Piece-ass magic.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, it's not his literal heart in any sense.
Yes.
Like One Piece.
Yes, it is his soul.
Which is just like a heart for some reason.
Yes.
I suppose if you have to have a, you know, graphical depiction of the soul, there's worse things you could do.
I guess.
So Lucifer pulls it out, and Furuichi looks dead, but I guess he's just, you know, he's not physically dead. As Lucifer holds onto his heart-soul thing. Yeah.
As long as his soul is intact, he'll live.
until the next morning, when it just floats up.
Yeah. As the sun rises. And then, of course, you know, they say, well, it's intact, and then immediately proceed to cut it into, you know, six pieces.
Yeah.
Yep.
But magic cut. One Piece has magic.
Yep, pretty much.
And she basically video game disperses it to the other boss fights. All of Takamiya's crew. With Takamiya holding the final piece.
Well, not all of his crew.
Well, they're surviving leaders of his crew, I guess. Except for the Observer, certainly. And right. I don't think Himikawa's in there.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, is that I don't think Himikawa got one.
Yeah, the important information is that Takamiya himself is keeping the last piece, to which Oga reacts by picking up Beel and then going Super Saiyan.
Saying, it's not the last piece, it's the first piece.
And then there's another explosion.
Then Oga just tries to beat up Takamiya and gets kneed in the face again.
Yeah, his, like, nails are growing, and I'm assuming that he's turning into a demon, because wasn't that the thing from back in the day?
When he drank he did Super Milk Time, he turned into a demon.
Yeah, so he's basically doing that without drinking.
But it doesn't seem to be doing him a whole lot of good, because Takamiya is still sort of outclassing him.
Yeah, without using Lucifer, too.
And this episode doesn't really back up the whole Lucifer controlling Takamiya thing.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think that's going to turn out to be true.
It was weird because there seemed like so much evidence for it last chapter, but this one, not so much.
So well, it could still be it, but it doesn't seem as likely anymore.
And it doesn't back it up that much, this one. But Takamiya's crew is eating dinner? Are they, they're in the school still for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Sure, why not?
And the pieces of Furuichi's soul come at them. Like, right in front of them, and the Observer says it's dessert, and they should eat it.
It looks tasty.
They don't believe him, but they eat it anyway. Since it's from Takamiya.
Yep.
And they all, I guess, level up.
Yeah, their King's Crests have just progressed to the next level, and I don't know what the explanation for that would be, other than maybe, you know, they're pledged to him, and they obeyed his orders? I don't know.
Well, no, it's because they have demon power and they ate a soul. I mean, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I was not thinking about the whole demon power and then eating a soul. I'm kind of like, well, Furuichi's soul's not exactly that strong, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that this is going to be the big thing that the demons were investigating.
Yeah,
that
probably.
The other side has learned how to use souls to power up. Which, this manga became Yu Yu Hakusho fast.
Yeah. Even more Yu Yu Hakusho than it was before.
I don't know. I don't know if I could call after 200 chapters being fast.
Well, abruptly, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Oga and Takamiya are still standing off, and Oga's basically out of power, as Agiel points out.
Okay, so is the assumption that Takamiya's eaten a ton of souls?
I don't know, he's not glowing like they were either, and it's they powered up the crest, which he doesn't have.
Yeah, I think he just has a really powerful demon.
Which he's not using right now, so.
I mean, it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean, using?
Well, I mean, like,
is
he's
Oga
not,
using?
He is yeah. not turning into a demon the way that Ogut is when he uses Beelze's power.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but.
But, from the way he phrases it, it seems like he doesn't work with the demon like Oga does with Beel. He sort of takes control of it, or uses its power.
Yeah. In any case, Tojo busts in.
Yeah. And just punches Takamiya through the wall. And that's basically the end of the chapter.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of action panels this chapter. Not a lot of talking.
It was very quick.
Still good. Not particularly funny, but... Oh well, at least Furuichi isn't dead.
That's the thing. I'm kind of disappointed in a way that I took the easiest, cheapest way out of that.
I'll agree
with
that.
Well, I mean, come on. They're not going to kill him off.
Well, no. I want to have an excuse to go back to the demon world. That's basically all I've been looking for the past year, is I want them to go back there, and it was a convenient excuse.
Oh, well, probably would have gone to the afterlife. We don't know if that's necessarily the demon world.
We should consult Bleach.
Shut up and stop making sense.
So, I'm guessing Tojo now has a King's Crest. Or he will the second Oga says he can fight Takamiya.
Something like that, yeah.
Because he got bodied by Himikawa not too long ago.
Yeah. Maybe
I do
just
like
got
how
more lessons from Jekt.
Yeah,
whatever his
just
name
while
is.
They were outside.
Yeah.
I do like how Takamiya did not see him coming, but Oga saw him, or noticed his presence a while before.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's going to be like the big thing, is that Takamiya for some reason can't sense Tojo.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
He does have anti-demon powers. Or not powers, but he learned how to fight demons.
Yeah, it could be part of that.
Because there was that whole thing where Sao Tome like taught him, and then it never came up again.
Yet.
Or maybe here.
Yeah. That's probably it.
I would be okay with seeing Tojo take on Takamiya and they save Oga's big fight for Fuji.
I could see that. Then again, we've already established that Tojo was beaten up by what's his name? Himikawa, so...
Yeah. But I mean, if he's powered up somehow or he has a King's Crest, then he should be able to take on Takamiya.
Yeah.
The question is, who's going to take on the other guys? The other ones who hold Furuichi's soul.
Oga.
It could be Oga. I could see maybe the demons down there joining in. The ones that were beaten up by Takamiya.
Get their revenge.
They've gotten attached to Furuichi.
Yeah.
They want to save him now.
Or they realize they have something to lose if Furuichi dies with them nearby.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if everybody else did come in to help, but I doubt that's going to happen at this point.
Yeah.
Well, then who knows? Tojo just showed up out of nowhere, so.
Yeah, but that's kind of his thing.
He was probably sleeping on the roof the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thoughts, predictions?
Fighting. Lots of fighting.
I'm going to guess it's Tojo is going to continue facing off against Takamiya while Oga goes to take care of all the others.
That makes sense to me.
Yep.
I would like to see Tojo actually beat Takamiya. All right, then.
Or we could see Jekt step in.
Yeah.
Finally.
I think he'll.
I think if he steps in, it'll be with Fuji. Or it, like, at least goes there and is like, I believe in Oga or something. I don't think he's going to go with this one. That is a good question. If Takamiya is the one who has the Lord of Demon Lords on his shoulder, one wonders what Fuji has.
That's where angels are finally going to come into it. Just you watch.
Or it's going to be like Lucifer's father or something.
Lucifer the second?
Yes. All right.
Lucifer.
On to Nisekoi.
Which we could be covering two chapters, but I think we're just doing 77 this week.
Yeah.
All right. See you later.
Partly because Robin doesn't want to talk about Nisekoi.
I think he should stick around and should do like a completely blind view of a single chapter or something like that. And he's obviously not paying attention anymore. So.
Well, I worry that he's not going to come back in time for Bleach, but we'll see. It's happened before.
Yeah. What?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So, right. Mamadera is...
Is that her name like, now?
That's what it says there, Mamadera. 10th most popular character in Nisekoi.
Although, I would guess if they did it again that Haru would shoot up the ranks at this point.
Yeah.
Because she is entertaining. I'll give her that.
She is redundant, I think. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
That Mamadera has... needs helpers because contrived reason for the bakery.
It's not terribly contrived. I mean, they need help at the bakery. Oh no, that's never happened before.
How could Raku be aware of this bakery and have been here and worked here before but never met Haru?
Because Japanese culture is weird. I don't know.
And they explicitly established that Haru is like hella into this bakery.
Well, maybe she was out that day, which is why Raku needed to come and help.
Where would she go? She's like 13.
I think 13-year-old girls actually do have social lives, believe it or not.
Well, apparently not, according to this manga. They all just revolve around one boy.
Fair point. So anyway. So
they call in Raku for help, and Haru is pissed about this.
In what is possibly the best face that this series has ever done.
Yeah, Nisekoi is well known for its reaction phases.
Yes.
And this one does not disappoint. So Raku comes in to help, and Haru is pissed. And basically this continues on until Onodera decides to leave them alone so they can work it out.
Which is stupid, but also the sort of logic that a teenager would have.
It's the sort of logic that Onodera would have.
Now, I'm pretty sure that some of my real-life friends would also think that that was a great idea.
Well, keep some of your real-life friends away from Mike. So they start talking, and they both agree that they love Japanese sweets, and they really get into it.
And they both, you know, think very highly of Onodera.
Yes. And Raku eventually admits, like, hey, I was that guy that saved you.
And of course, she hates him for, you know, ruining the image of her prince by trying to, you know, get on her good side by lying.
By taking credit for that.
Yeah, and of course, the question is, how would he have heard about this in the first place?
Well, she's stupid. We can establish that very concretely right now. She's not a smart person.
Yeah,
which makes her much like her sister and probably mother.
So are we going to see an arc where the mother is demonstrated to, you know, jump to the completely wrong conclusions all the time, too?
Probably.
Yeah.
So basically, they talk about sweets, and she's being tsundere the entire time.
Yep.
And she eventually tries to pick up a big pallet of sweets, and they start falling down, and Raku runs in to help.
And of course, the only way he can pop... Well, I guess... from how she was falling, the only way he could have caught it was from behind her, of course.
Yes,
and their hands are touching, which of course is a terribly embarrassing thing to happen.
Yes. And she said that she'll scream if this continues, and Raku said, it's okay as long as you're not hurt.
And then Onodera comes back in and realizes, oh hey, they're getting along just fine, which of course startles them and they break everything.
Yes. So, her being like, Raku Tsundere friend feels really redundant because Raku already has Chitoge. Like, this manga has a tsundere harem character.
Well, yeah, well, welcome to harem. I mean, that there are plenty of series that have way too many.
And it just that Nisekoi joined the league of ordinary harems now.
Yeah. Well, not that it was always the incredibly... It was rote following established paths, but doing it well. It just really seems to be phoning it in and dragging it on at this point.
I think now that he knows he has the anime, he can just, you know, he has to introduce more merchandisable characters.
That seems like a reasonable assumption, because this was a very conveniently timed to bring in a new character.
Yeah. I mean...
Although, let's be honest, these sort of series don't normally last longer than, what, a season or two? So, they're already past that many chapters.
I can't think of anything that have lasted a really long time, but I feel like most, or some do.
No, I think the standard's typically 26 episodes for those, isn't it?
Probably the ones that do survive longer, weird hybrids, like
yeah.
Kenichi and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I still think Haru looks way too much like Onodera.
Yeah, they're family, but they are very similar to one another. And I mean, it was a cute chapter. I just wasn't expecting it to move this far in this path this quickly.
Yeah. I think they need to get her established and in love with Raku, but not wanting to admit it.
Having already read the next chapter, I can say you're going to be disappointed.
Is it because it's contrived?
Oh, it is incredibly contrived, but I just meant that is not the direction that it's moving in.
It's going to eventually. You know, she's eventually going to be part of the harem. And
well, yes.
Then she'll be like... hidden, unspoken love rival with Onodera.
I think I just liked her better when she was, you know, attempting to run interference with, you know,
yeah.
The two people who are actually interested in one another and in any realistic scenario would have already, you know, gotten into a relationship.
Like, that's the way it should go, but it's eventually, we know the eventual roundabout for this.
Yeah. All right. I just saw some activity on Robin, so we can stop dragging this out and move on to something that we've all read. All
right.
What? Yeah, I'm here.
So, I don't even know how to start this. What the fuck is up with Bleach now?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Really, what is happening?
Okay, I think I can explain it. So,
parallels.
So basically, the thing that Ichigo thought was his Zanpakuto the whole time was actually his Quincy power that was holding back his real power. So what's happening is that he is pulling a Frieza. He's like the final boss of any other shonen manga, where he was only using some tiny percentage of his power this entire time. And so now he's going to get this giant power up out of literally nowhere.
So you kind of glossed over the best part. The reason why the Quincy was holding back his real power
is
because he didn't want him to become a Shinigami. Because that
because
means he would have to fight him.
And he didn't want him to get hurt.
He loves him like a son.
Yes.
So, and you then, know, all those times
this
where
entire description. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
All those times where he almost died fighting Kenpachi and Aizen and all those times, I guess, I don't know, he just didn't notice.
He just didn't care, you know.
See, okay,
but yeah,
so
this entire description, I've just been making the face that Ichigo is on the third page. Like, that page just sums up this entire chapter.
We say Nisekoi is great at reaction panels, but I mean, Kubotide kind of brought it here, because every single panel is Ichigo looking, like, confused and betrayed by this manga.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
What indeed?
Perhaps like the best like microcosm of this manga is that Zangetsu says, "I need to go now," and then just stays explaining himself for the next three or four pages.
Yeah.
And you know, he's also incredibly tsundere the entire time, because, you know, he was never the one who saved him. It was always his hollow, and, you know, he didn't want him to become it, but he likes him anyway.
Yep. Ichigo is friend to all creatures.
Be they Quincy, hollow, or Shinigami.
Apparently.
So let's just Let's just say straight up, this doesn't make any sense.
Oh, not in the slightest.
It doesn't follow any of the things that happened in Bleach up to this point.
Well, and, I mean, you know, even from the, like, oh, the only time I lied to you was when I said that I was Zengetsu, and then you get, you know, his holo form itself also referred to this guy as Zengetsu. And, you know, they merged into this Bishi sort of thing. Way
right.
back in the day.
Yoroichi pulled him out of Ichigo, and then they all hung out for like 3 days.
Yeah, and remember, yeah, that whole thing in the last arc, or the arc before the last arc, where they, Holo Ichigo said that the other guy never really existed, and that it was all him the whole time.
Yeah.
So
we just all agree that he's like not caring about, he's just assuming that any person who's been reading from the beginning has just given up on this series, and he's just appealing to any new readers, right?
It's such a weird thing, because like, he just always so stupidly, I don't want to say careful, but insistent on making sure when he has to retcon something, it makes sense. Well, and he's just like, fuck it here.
I guess.
He's like throwing a party of bullshit.
It's like, he just really wanted to wrap the series up, I guess, and so he wanted to stay true to that other thing he said, where the final enemy was someone we've already seen, and so he made the final enemy look exactly like Zangetsu, and then came up with this whole convoluted mess of an explanation to finally settle the question of what exactly is going on in Ichigo's soul, which
I had forgotten
always been
about
super
that quote.
Vague.
I'd forgotten about that quote until you reminded me, and now I'm really sad.
Yeah.
Because it means he thought about this.
Yeah, and then also, what's it called? We forgot to point out last week something that Lanz did on the forums, which is, okay, so his Zanpakuto was actually Juha Bakht the entire time, which means that the, you know, the kanji on his sword is actually a Nazi symbol. He has a Nazi sword.
I thought it was the correct orientation to be... What's the name?
Yeah, it's a manji.
Yeah. Sorry, I said kanji,
I
not
mean,
manji.
The manji.
But come on.
Well, that's also just one of the characters in the word bankai, so I don't think that's what he was actually.
Oh, no, no. I don't think that that's what he was going for, but it just makes for an amusing coincidence.
So speaking of swords, at one point, Juha Bakht, as before he starts fading away, produces a material sword. And so I'm not the only one who thought that, oh, they're going to fight now, right?
Yeah. I mean, didn't they fight before?
Yeah, but I mean, never like, you know, it was just Zangetsu dodging him, really.
No, they fought a number of times.
I thought they fought, like, when he was first getting his holo power, when he died, remember?
Well, they fought at the time that they brought him into the real world.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Into the, you know, Soul Society, rather. Right. And then I think that they fought... Didn't they fight during the Kenpachi fight too, or something like that? A little bit.
I think that was like Ichigo falling off that building, and Zangetsu was like defying gravity.
Yeah, there was that, and then there was also, I mean, he fought the Bishonen one after he merged with the Hollow.
So, huh?
But it was just funny because he like pulls out that sword, then like fades away. And that's the real Zangetsu.
Yes, and what's killing me about this sword is that, you know, what it's looking like with the, you know, cross guard and stuff like that is I'm going to die laughing if this sword ends up being, like, Excalibur style. Because everything in this entire series has basically been, you know, Japanese-type imagery. And then if he pulls out, like, a medieval Europe sword as the final Zangetsu, I think that's going to be hilarious.
Well, I don't know. And the second-to-last page... It kind of looks like that's just the fire, which is like the Quincy power burning off. And then it's not going to be. It's just going to be like, look like his Bankai or something.
Yeah, but it totally looks like when it's burning like that, it looks like a cross guard, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
What's the, it's not ferrule. What's the actual term for it? Whatever.
I don't know. In any case, I think we can all agree it's going to be pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
So if you look at this, like,
so bad.
If you look at the last, like, let's say 30 chapters from Ichigo's perspective, everything is stupid. Like, he's just been told, like, oh, by the way, this happened. You're part Quincy, your mom died because of this, you have Juha Bakht inside you. Juha Bakht is actually Zangetsu, here's your real Shinigami sword. Which is like, Why? Well, why are we moving along this pace? Also, who's the Soul King?
Weren't we going to get to meet the Soul King sometime
Oh, I'm sure
in the
that
past?
remember, we're still at like stage 3 of 4 or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I bet Renji is hanging out with the Soul King right now.
Yeah, they've gotten to be best bros, you know. Turns out that, you know, Renji is going to be the next Soul King.
Yeah, when people were saying like, "Oh man, Bleach is really stupid this week," I assumed you guys were like exaggerating, but I didn't think you lowballed it.
It's just.
You know, I was just thinking when we were talking about how Zangetsu came into the world before, but it was just this guy for some reason. How do they take physical objects from Soul Society into the real world and still have them be physical objects? Because people are ghosts in Soul Society.
Are they?
But they
Have we
take.
ever actually gotten like clarification of
Well,
this?
because they have to use those fake bodies, right?
Yeah, they do have to use the Giga Eyes.
But how do they get the Giga Eyes into the real world if they're all ghosts in Soul Society and the Giga Eyes come from Soul Society?
Well, no, that they don't come from Soul Society, do they? I thought that that was one of the things where Rukia had to go to Urahara's shop to get it.
Oh, that's right. I always forget about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Here's a better question. Why was it only raining for like one page in this chapter?
It was probably a flashback to the time it was raining inside of him before.
Well,
Or
no,
not a
see, that's
flashback, but
all
like a reference to.
the. Yeah, because it's like all the times he's been inside himself before, but everything is falling apart because the illusion is breaking. So, it's not
But
raining.
like the page before it wasn't raining, except for one panel. Then the page after it is raining, then the page after that it stopped raining.
Oh, it turns
Oh,
out
that's
that
because they
it's
go
actually still
underwater.
raining, he's just underwater.
Yeah. They go underwater on page 10 in Manga Stream.
Oh,
The
is
whole
that what's
rest.
happening?
Yeah,
Yeah.
the whole rest of the chapter
So in
they're
other
in.
words, it's rained so much that it's completely flooded now.
Kubotite is so lazy about backgrounds, it's very hard to tell.
Yeah, he just wanted an excuse to stop drawing buildings, and so they just went
Okay,
underwater.
I have a better question than the one that Robin posed that was brought up, but or that was, you know, caused by this chapter, which is, okay, so Ichigo's always been using his holo powers. So the Getsuga Tensho is a holo power. How does his dad have that too?
Clearly, his dad is secretly a holo.
Are Shinigami all just using like latent holo powers?
Well, yeah, isn't that what we just found out a couple of chapters ago? Because that guy kind of just said, oh, yeah, it's basically the same process as a holo, but that's a secret, I guess.
Basically, Bleach is dumb.
Yes, very dumb.
The question is, how dumb can it get? Like, is this the bottom it? Like, can Bleach go up from here?
Can
Like, 'cause
Bleach
it...
become so
Well, I don't
dumb
know,
that
you
it's
know,
actually good again?
whenever it's not about Ichigo, it's pretty good.
I don't know, we had those like three slice of life chapters that were pretty bad.
I don't know, I liked him. It was
Yeah.
fun. I always
I
like
liked
when he
everything
fights,
about
you
I
know,
liked everything in those
it's about.
chapters with the exception of the like the second lieutenant's family.
Oh,
Yeah.
his brother, that was all internet. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I guess there's ghost internet, and he is. Big on. Okay, let's just stop talking about Bleach, okay?
I agree.
It was so bad.
This is going to be a short jump cast, but as long as we're not talking about Bleach, I'm okay with
Okay.
So, moving on. Bleach. No.
On to Naruto, where last week it turns out that they're the Sannin. I didn't know if you guys ever picked up on that thing,
Say what? They're the sun.
but they're very close to the Sannin.
Oh, I never noticed.
I'm still not seeing it. Can you explain this to me? I'm really not seeing it.
All right, so point one, the chapter title is The New Trio.
The Sannin weren't the only trio.
And
I mean,
point
God,
two.
every squad is a trio. I mean, come on.
Yeah, what
And
about
point.
all the other times that there were three people that had the same personality types and hair colors?
Yeah, that there was the, you know, quiet, stoic, badass guy and the, you know, the spazzy guy and the girl. I mean, come on. I'm not seeing the parallel to the
Gotta
Sannin.
let me present all my evidence.
No, I'm gonna continue interrupting you.
Point two, on page three, they directly call him the Sannin. And they look at a picture, or they think about a picture of the Sannin.
I think you're stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it, man.
Yeah, it was kind of a weak case. I do find it amusing that they're using the new generation of animals, except for Sakura, who's still using Katsuya. Katsuya-sama is yep. who she calls.
Well, it's because, you know, slugs are immortal, so.
Apparently.
Wasn't she, like, with Tsunade?
Yeah, I think so. Like, didn't she already attach to everybody?
No, I don't think so.
I'm fairly certain that earlier in the war, they had her split up and attached to everybody for a means of communication.
Wait, is Tsunade's Katsuya or Katsuyu?
Nah.
I have never paid that much attention.
They speak of
a different slug that has a very similar name.
Shizune at one point recognizes her and speaks of her like it's the same one.
Okay.
That she's like, okay. Oh, she can already summon Katsuyu.
Yeah, the one that Tsunade always summoned was Katsuyu. Yeah.
Okay.
So basically Sakura does not even get her own spirit animal.
Nope.
Which I find funny.
What I find funny is that Sasuke just got a different snake who doesn't care that he killed Manda.
Yeah.
Snakes don't give a fuck, apparently.
There's not a good relationship there.
Yeah, I mean, they eat one another. It's all good.
Yeah.
I also find it funny that Sasuke lunged at the Ten Tails, Gamakichi jumped right at it, and Sakura's like, okay, let's heal people.
Yeah, go heal everyone. I'll just hang back and, you know.
And, you know, like, I had my moment, you know, last week. That's good enough.
Yep.
And then Sai reacts like, oh, so this is Team 7. So that's why I got shot down.
Yep.
That explains it. I'm still laughing about how bad that was last week.
Yeah, like, oh, right, now it's my turn. And then, no.
I am also a part of Team 7. Oh, wait.
So this rest of the chapter is basically the seduction dance between Naruto and Sasuke.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sasuke creates a black fire windmill shuriken.
Well, no.
Naruto creates a shuriken and Sasuke creates the black fire thing.
And then we get a flashback to, you know, when Naruto turned into Pokemon and we learned about how the elements line up.
Yeah. I actually kind of do appreciate the subtle reference here of them using a windmill type thing again.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah.
When the very first time they worked together and did the Zabuza thing. That was the cool moment of Naruto that they spent way too long thinking about.
Yeah.
It was great that they actually did reference that without actually referencing it.
Yeah, although, you know, the thing that struck me about this is, you know, they made Sasuke overpowered enough that it's kind of a moot point because the whole, you know, that fire consumes anything it touches, so he pinpricks the thing with it and it would just consume the entire body anyway. So turning it into a giant windmill doesn't really accomplish anything more.
Yeah, it didn't really matter that it was part of this giant shuriken thing. It just kind of looked cool.
It's symbolic. Though I don't think it's actually going to end up killing the Ten Tails because that would probably be...
anticlimactic?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I don't know, it's Naruto, and by which I mean it's Sasuke. So maybe it's going to be like, oh, yay, Sasuke, you should be Hokage.
Yeah, it just seems to have turned out way too smoothly for it to be the actual ending to this thing. It hasn't reached its final form yet, so, you know.
Madara also has control of the Black Flame too, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
So maybe that's going to factor in somehow.
Actually, I know what's going to happen. We're going to have the combo of Obito coming back and him portaling away the Black Fire.
I can see that. That would work.
And that's when he'll come back covered in blood, and then we'll turn a little darker again.
So the final panel is what we've all been waiting for.
Actually, I want to comment on the second to last page again, which is, you know, Sasuke being incredibly, you know, pissed off, burn sort of thing. And then it comes to the last page, and then, you know, Jugo, and it's Jugo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sai are both, you know, looking at it and commenting, you just heard him say that, right? So my takeaway from those two panels was, yeah, Sasuke's still evil. So, you know.
Probably still crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
He loved too much.
Too Overwatch. Oh, wait, how could we go over the name of that attack, though?
What was the name?
The fourth named it. Yeah, that's the fourth, isn't it?
Depending on which place you looked, I don't think... there we go. Yeah, it's
a Shakutan Korin Shui Pukyo Kuyari Zero Shiki. You know.
The Spiraling Light Storm Pitch Black Arrow Mark Zero.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Scorch Element. Sorry, it's Scorch Element. Spiraling Light Storm Pitch Black Arrow Mark Zero. I want to see them say that in the anime now.
Yeah. It's going to be quite a thing.
So apparently the fourth is just as big a dork as Naruto.
I can see that. He seems like the sort of guy who would be a giant dork.
Anyway, at the end of the chapter, we see that Orochimaru hasn't inexplicably turned good after all.
And he's gone to Tsunade, who is apparently still alive at this point. So
Well, we don't know that.
I'm guessing this is part of the plan that he was sent there.
He could be talking to her corpse, so...
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to do like a presto changeo repentance thing. But I think this is part of the plan that he was there to collect the Hokages.
Yeah, it could be. He's good at working with corpses.
Yeah, because I don't think Sasuke would be okay with him making a Hokage army.
You would think, but this is Sasuke we're talking about.
Why is he beholden to Sasuke again? Like, what was the reason there?
Because he wanted to see what would happen, I think is the long and short of it.
Yeah, he wanted answers, remember?
So Kishimoto is basically like a Orochimaru cipher. Or vice versa. Yeah.
Right.
I'm guessing that there is more to Orochimaru that has not yet been revealed.
Right, because remember, Sasuke only like let him come back to life because he was going to take him to the Hokages and they were going to answer everything. And then they told Sasuke, hey, sometimes shinobis do things. And then Sasuke wasn't evil anymore.
Until he lit someone on fire, and then he realized that he's actually still a pyromaniac. So
what we need is Hashirama to retell him the story.
Right.
And then he'll turn sane again.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Hashirama will turn around to all of the ninja and go, hey guys, I want to tell you a story. And then sit down.
It would be great if he told him the story, but it was different.
Because Madara's there and he can actually, you know, confirm whether or not it's true.
Well, Sasuke overhears it like, wait, that wasn't the same story I heard. It's like, yeah, I just made that up. None of this actually happened. I'm guessing Orochimaru brings Tsunade back up somehow.
Hey, he can do the Edo Tensei now.
He can.
So yeah, he's totally coming back with the Hokage army.
Yep.
Or a Kage army.
And they're going to be like, I wonder who they're going to help, because Orochimaru's evil, and they help the good guys.
Well, no, I think he's going to come back after the fighting and take Sasuke away again.
And then there'll be another time skip.
And then they'll have to chase after him, and it'll be a repeat of the Rescue Sasuke arc. Because why not?
I hate to be blunt, but I don't think Orochimaru could take Sasuke if he wanted to at this point.
With all the Kages?
Okay, with all of them, yes, maybe, but Hashirama isn't captured by him anymore, so.
But, yeah, that's true.
Well, he never was. Hashirama could just break out on his own free will.
I forgot about that. It'll be after the battle, the Hokages are saying their goodbyes, they agree to go back to being dead, and then Orochimaru comes back with all the other Kages.
I think Orochimaru is going to figure prominently in the defeat of Madara. It's going to be some big self-sacrificing thing.
I don't know. I still think he's just evil and is pretending.
I'm kind of with Robin on this one. I think that he is going to... Yeah, I mean, he has been the villain through the entire series, basically.
But only, like, tangentially. After the attack on Konoha, he kind of sort of faded into the background compared to Akatsuki and the rest of that stuff.
But he was part of Akatsuki.
And he's been, you know, behind a lot of stuff. He's behind basically this whole war because he's behind Kabuto.
He was behind Big Nose Kabuto. That was probably his idea.
Yeah, right.
That got him his promotion.
So, I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot more Orochimaru.
I don't know. I feel like he's not strong enough to deal with Naruto. So, any threat he poses would be quickly disposed of.
He's going to want to destroy the leaf, and that is going to get Sasuke on his side. And there we go.
I don't think there's anywhere they could take this series after this, and like just punting Orochimaru back in would be very, I don't know, hack job.
I don't think it's going to be, you know, punting him back in. I think it's going to be, like, in the course of this arc, he is going to end up being a third faction sort of thing.
It just seems so un-Kishimoto-like. He's not one for that degree of subtlety.
Okay, fair point.
Well, that's true. But he is desperately going to have to figure out some way to have Naruto and Sasuke fight again.
Yeah. And they're going to fight for Hokage, and then they'll call it a draw.
Yeah, probably.
See, you guys are missing the main thing of Naruto, is that when someone is evil, they announce it. We saw it not but 2 pages ago. Sasuke basically said, "Hey, I'm evil." And Sai's like, "Hey, did he say that?"
That's true. I don't know. Orochimaru, well, he's a... I don't know. I could see it going either way. But I think he's still evil, and it's going to be a major threat.
I think the suspicion that he's evil is going to be there the entire time until the second he does something not evil.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be his whole gimmick, that everyone thinks he's evil.
But really, it will turn out he was defending Konoha the entire time.
He was too hotbox the entire time.
Everything
he was just trying to protect Naruto, and kept his power at bay.
And there's then he will fade away, and Naruto will learn the true Kage Bushin no Jutsu.
Yeah. Everything he did was through some convoluted series of reasons to the benefit of Konoha. The whole invasion was just to strengthen them for this coming war.
They did become best friends with Sand afterwards.
It turns out that the entire like ninja nations and whatnot are inside of this little like terrarium bubble sort of thing, and it's the modern world outside, so they had to get strong enough to defend themselves against, like, you know, guns.
Yeah. That's right.
The entirety of Naruto is just a story Hashirama's been telling somebody else.
It's all a computer simulation, but then they get brought into the real world at the very end.
If this were Bleach, I'd be afraid that we were guessing correctly at some point.
Yeah. No, these are too dumb even for this.
I was trying to channel Claymore there when I was making my thing. But
Oh, yeah, that's right. God. That's why I stopped reading Claymore. When that
I actually haven't read it. I just watched the TV series, but yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, Claymore. Anyway.
So speaking of really crazy amounts of fan service, One Piece. Well, I guess first let's start
fan
with
fan service. What are you talking about? There was no fan service in this chapter.
Did you see that old lady upskirt in the cover?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Caribou is going to defend this old lady, and who cares?
Nah, I think he's just going to run away.
Yeah, probably. Whatever. Whatever!
Who cares? Who cares?
So, Robin is splayed out on the ground in to be a Gulliver's Travel reference that is really creepy and rapey in a lot of ways.
Because she's female, but otherwise it is. Okay, and I'm going to guess that this is just a scanlation thing and that... Oh, wait, no, that's right. They sewed her to the ground.
Yeah, they sewed her to the ground.
Because that's the power, and...
Yeah, he has a devil fruit. One of the dwarves.
Yeah.
And
it's
we
not
learn
only
what
because
the name,
he's female.
We learn what the name of Robin's left boob is. It's Sector B.
Well, that... I mean, it's not only because she's female that this is creepy, but she's wearing, like, the skinniest little dress, and they're, like, crawling all over her upper dress, upper blouse, or upper chest area. And so, yeah, super creepy. But what I guess he wanted to go for the Gulliver's Travel reference, and he also wanted to boost ratings.
Yep, pretty much. He knows how to get ratings.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs the help.
I think it's true. I honestly think this is mostly weird because it's Robin.
Yeah, she hasn't really been the target of fan service.
Yeah.
Like
oh,
this
yes, she has been.
Not recently.
Well, except in that movie.
Like, if this were Nami, I don't think any of us would bat an eye.
Well, because it's Oda, in any case.
Yeah.
You gotta expect this kind of thing. I mean, what manga have you been reading?
So it turns out that the fairies are actually dwarves.
Even though they look like fairies.
Yes.
They have little tails.
I like how the commander has a actual human-sized gun.
Yeah. Just a regular pistol.
Well, of course. That they steal the weapons from humans.
Right. So Robin is remembering what happened, and she thinks they were attacked by anesthetic flowers, which knocked her and Usopp out when, I guess, Law and Caesar were in a decent bit away.
Yeah, well, they were. They Law sent the two of them to check out the island to find out what was going on.
Yeah.
While he stayed on the beach.
So she's
turns
trying
out
to.
They're underground.
She's trying to talk her way out of this, and they call her a liar. But then she says, "No, it's okay. It's the truth."
I said, "Well, okay then. No
they're
problem.
Very trusting.
Go. Yes. They're and incredibly gullible."
Then the chief says, "Wait a second. We can't trust her for that." And then she says, "No, it's fine." And then he trusts her.
Yep.
So he's slightly less trusting.
And then, of course, we realize, oh man, Usopp's going to have a field day with these guys.
We find out he already has.
So at this point, I was thinking maybe, like, they reference a hero that has told them that he's there to save them.
Yep.
Which, obviously, that's going to be Usopp. But I thought maybe the twist was going to be, what if that's Caesar Crown? But
no.
It wasn't. They went with the obvious thing.
Caesar would just kill them all. He would just turn into deadly gas and kill all of them.
They ask Robin to give her, or to give them all her weapons. And she doesn't have any, so they start attacking her. But then they explain, no, she's that hero's companion.
Yep.
The other giant human that they caught.
Yes.
So, what kind of lies did you... And then we cut away.
Then
I'm
they cut.
We're going to see a lot of Usopp's lies next chapter. That'll be fun.
Yep. Then it cuts to Zoro running through the streets, who's trying to make it. I guess he was part of the what was it? The extraction team.
Yeah, but he had his sword was stolen. But as you can see, he has his three swords again.
Yeah.
So he caught the dwarf that had stolen it.
And oh, wait, the dwarf was... Yeah, he was part of the team with Luffy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Remember they went to that restaurant and then his sword disappeared?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he eventually caught the dwarf, and the dwarf kind of, in the midst of freaking out about being caught, let it slip that Caesar Crown is going to attack the Straw Hat ship.
Not Caesar Crown, Doflamingo.
Oh, Doflamingo, sorry.
And it's also revealed that apparently they're really, really strong, given the whole punching the ground and it shattering thing.
Yeah.
So they've been watching Doflamingo for a long time for reasons.
The tragic backstory, which has yet to be revealed.
Right.
Yep.
And they knew that Doflamingo knows where every Straw Hat already is.
Right.
And so this whole thing is a trap. So Zoro freaks out because he has to get back to the Sunny because it's only Nami, Brook, Chopper, and what was his name? Momotaro.
Momonosuke, yeah.
Then he realizes he doesn't know the way to get there, so the dwarf decides to guide him.
Yeah, but he keeps ignoring the directions.
And apparently, you know, his sense of direction is getting even worse because he's like, climb those stairs, and then he just skips them.
The dwarf asks if he's mentally challenged. And then it cuts back to the Colosseum where, I forgot her name.
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca sees Frankie and that little toy soldier running outside. I guess his name is just Soldier.
Apparently.
And she's kind of... It gets this weird, like, tension thing where she's apparently in love with him, and she's going to win the Mero Mero no Mi to earn his love.
Yeah, that's not exactly the direction I expected her story to go. But
honestly, I think that's like...
I wonder whether somebody has the Devil Fruit power to turn people into toys, and she's, like, in here... because she thinks that she can barter that with turning him back into a person.
Maybe,
I don't know. I think they're just toy people.
On its face, them just being toy people and like there being like a love thing there, that's actually sort of like cute and whimsical.
Yeah, it's really great. I like that twist.
Yeah.
It turns out she's just in love with a toy soldier.
And
who's
he
a
seems to
horrible
be,
criminal.
well, he seems to be a brave freedom fighter.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really interesting twist.
Yeah.
So it shows where everyone is, and or where at least Law and Caesar Crown are, and someone's talking to Crown through a dead end Mushi that it's a huge trap.
Yep.
Well, it's not someone; it's Sanji talking through.
Oh, do they explain how Sanji knows?
No, I think they don't say, but I think the assumption is that it's, you know, something he found out while he was protecting the one girl.
Yeah.
So Sanji explains that Doflamingo never stepped down from the Shichibukai.
Which is such an obvious twist that I kind of...
Yeah, how did we not see it?
I didn't
well, no, we
that...
made a comment about that, that was the case. But then if you go back and look at the chapters where the Marines are talking about it, they are talking like he stepped down. So it's something that I'm guessing Akainu kept between himself and Fujitora.
Well, the Shichibukai worked for the world government, not the Marines, so they could keep it a secret from them.
True, yeah.
So I guess that's the deal, but it seemed like such an obvious thing that I didn't think they were going to go that direction.
Yeah, they even pointed out that the kingdom is acting like he never stepped down.
Yeah,
which
so it's like, yeah, that's obviously the twist, so it has to be some other twist, but oh.
And basically with this, it goes back to, wow, Law just makes bad decisions, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. He's standing on the beach of that island where Doflamingo's coming and Fujitora's coming.
Yep.
And he's caught between them.
Yep.
And it's just him and Caesar.
Bad decisions.
Worst decisions. This was not a well thought out plan.
So this was the best One Piece in months.
Yeah.
What? I've been enjoying it lately.
Oh no, I've been enjoying One Piece, but this was significantly better than any of the Colosseum chapters.
And he finally stopped revving the engine and actually went.
Yeah, things are really happening now.
And of course, next week they're off.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a still recuperating sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he gets better.
I do too, but this was a good chapter because I've had my complaints about One Piece before that it tends to meander.
Yeah.
And this is definitely not meandering.
Well, yeah, I guess it just comes down to how much you mind that meandering, and I like the meandering, because I think he does really good world building, but it is nice that things are happening now.
Yeah.
I do think what's it called? I think it's funny that, once again, Sanji has been relegated to being the information person speaking through the Denden Mushi.
But that's when he's best. That's when you know an arc is awesome.
Yeah.
Think about it. All the arcs where he doesn't do that aren't as good as the ones where he does.
He doesn't do it in CP9.
That's true.
He kind of does. He leaves the note. When he sees Spamba taking Robin on the train.
True.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So still counts.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, really good chapter. Like, the most I've enjoyed One Piece in a long time.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm hoping not next week, but the next chapter brings it too. I want to see Law make a daring escape, like cut up the island.
Yeah. Or just teleport away.
I think the fact that he made a reference to the fact that he has stamina things, that like, that's his limitation, is going to factor in somehow.
Yeah, I think that he's going to end up fighting and he's going to run out of stamina and be captured or something like that.
Yeah. And Luffy's still in the tournament, so.
Yep.
He probably should have thought that one through.
All the heavy hitters are busy.
Yeah.
Well, Zoro's heading to, you know, be in the place that I suppose he needs to be.
Well, Zoro's heading to the ship, which I assume means he's heading to the island. Because that's the opposite way of the ship.
That's true. He might end up on the island trying to get to the ship.
Yeah, but he has somebody giving him directions, so.
But he's not following them.
Well, he's not following them well.
You know what Zoro joke I really wished would have happened, they never actually did? In the time skip, they should have had it so Zoro immediately left for the island because he didn't get the message right, and that he just spent the 2 years trying to get there.
Yeah, and he just trained by fighting people he randomly came across.
Now,
yeah.
I liked the joke that they went with, which was he was the first person, or the second person there, or whatever. Mind you, he was the second person there because it was Perona was the person who actually got him there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, One Piece was good.
Yep.
Greg, stop playing Trine 2.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Steam notifications.
You're mad for cards.
Yes, I am.
All right. So we'll wrap this up. This has been your Thursday, June 13th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week.
This is just, I refuse to participate in some economic experiment.
Well, if you don't want to participate, you can just give me your cards.
No, I'm just going to hold on to them.
You're going to be the Ron Paul of Valve.
Yeah.